I'm going to start this a little bit with the children's sermon, because it's going to lead a little bit into here. So we need to think about a song that we used to sing. And I know Debbie has sang this with kids for years. All God's Creatures. I didn't realize that song has 11 verses. 11 verses and a chorus. But it's basically the invitation that God gives us, the welcome. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out on the telephone wire, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they've got. So, for our youth, for our children, you're welcomed. You're loved. You're cared for. God has a place for you. We have a place in our congregation for you. And we love you. That's God's message. Now for the larger children. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today's gospel is short and sweet, straight to the point. Three verses. Debbie got to say all the long verses today. But we have three verses. The message is quite simple. It's about welcoming and receiving, giving and receiving. Pretty simple. I probably don't need to go on. I could just stop right now. But I'm a teacher. I can't do that. So I have to hear myself talk. But the message is simple, yet it's very complex in our lives. In verse 40, the theme of verse 40 is welcoming others. Now Jesus, at this point, has been instructing the disciples. All through Lent, we heard Jesus instructing the disciples, teaching them, preparing them, and getting them ready. Last week, in weeks prior, Jesus gave them some news that might have been pretty scary. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be reviled. You're going to be spit upon. Sure, that's what I want to go into. That's the job I want. But these disciples did it. This week, I listened to Bishop Smith's message about welcome signs. Almost all churches have signs of welcome somewhere, have signs of welcome. Well, welcome for us in hospitality is generally, when do we eat? We have fellowship. We have food and fellowship. That's hospitality. But hospitality is only one part of welcoming. His sermon went into a great detail about injustice in the world and about what's going on since the death of George Floyd and a few others. A few years ago, the United Methodist Church had a commercial, and it was about welcoming and not welcoming people. And there were people sitting in the pews, and all of a sudden it came up. Well, you know, this person's homosexual, and it was an ejector seat, and it ejected them out of the building. Or this person is Hispanic. Boom, there they go. Ejected them for various reasons. And then the message of that commercial is, that's not the way church should be. And that was part of Bishop Smith's message. Do we truly heed that call of that welcome sign? When people come into our building or into our community, do we welcome them, no questions asked, as they are, like Jesus accepts us? Or do we judge them by the clothes they wear, by the car they drive, by the home they live in? That finger's pointing back here. We're human beings. We judge. So sometimes our hospitality is more of a hospitality where we're patting ourselves on the back. The people we see every week, every Sunday, that's who we welcome. It's not the people that really need the seeds of faith that we can provide for them. So, who do we discriminate against? Why do we discriminate? I'm sure all of you have watched videos of the protests. Some people comment quite silly comments that are like, well, they're not wearing masks, and they're in a large group. You missed the point. If you're worried about them wearing a mask versus why they're out there protesting, you don't get it. There's injustice in this world. That's not welcoming. But we're human. We have a chance that we could change things. We don't have to join Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, but we can join to end injustice. We can join together to accept, like Jesus, who ate with tax collectors and sinners. And for some of our politicians, I'm sure they would never agree that they are either one of those. They would be too good for that. So it's risk versus reward. We can welcome someone, not knowing a whole lot about them. There's a risk factor there. Let's think about it. When our congregation is able to meet, as soon as the service begins, what do to all the doors? We lock them. Out of safety, out of fear, because we know bad things happen. Now that's a little drastic example because we don't have too many guests that show up at 10:45 or 11 o'clock knocking on the door. We've got cameras where we can see. So we want to protect ourselves. But guys, I don't see much diversity in this room. The most segregated hour in American history is generally 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock Sunday morning. For us, 10:30 to 11:30. So our viewpoint's quite different. I've never been a slave. I've never been discriminated against because of the color of my skin. I've never been discriminated against because of my gender. Never been discriminated against because I have blue eyes. Okay? I can't feel what people that have gone through that. I can't feel water hoses being sprayed upon me and dogs attacking me as I march for equality and justice. But there's also, along with that risk, there's a great reward. People come into our lives, we don't know much about them, they become great friends. They may become members of our church and community. There's a reward. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got a place in the choir. We need to come out of our comfort zone. We need to take more of those risks. Yeah, we might get burned every once in a while. We might get hurt. But in the end, why are we disciples of Christ? Is it to sit on our hands? We have great potential. And I think I've mentioned this before. Potential is like your rear end. The more you sit on it, the more it grows. We want to use that potential. We don't want it to grow and just sit there unused. Even a cup of cold water to these little ones. And Jesus was talking about the disciples. The disciples were the little ones. If someone were just to offer them a cup of cold water, that there would be a reward for them. Small things. We don't have to jump in front of a bus to save somebody. Okay? We don't have to be heroic. We don't have to be superheroes. We can do those little things. Our congregation does a lot of little things. Our prayer shawl ministry. I would gather that we're probably a couple of thousand into that. I had it totaled up a few years ago, and then I stopped counting. Our youth groups. Gavin and Gracie doing a lemonade stand, selling tomatoes for our backpack ministry. Our scholarship program. Our men's and women's groups and the work that they do. It's truly a blessing to walk down the ramp and see the pictures. Of the ladies and the young ladies that are being mentored and provided for with the baby showers. And the shower is just two parts of it. There's mentoring going along. We're providing them someone to listen, someone to care for them. Little things that we can do. Not everybody has the same gift or talent, but everybody has the same opportunity to share those gifts and talents with others. So our action's not always heroic, mostly small things that we don't think that much about, but we still need to continue believing that we make a difference and we can make more of a difference. We can help bring some of that justice to the world. We can help bring more equality, more toleration, more of God's love. So that words like discrimination, racism, can go away. But that's up to us. Social media and communication media, I think if we turn it down or turn it off, things might get better. But even so, they serve an important purpose to give us information so that we can move forth. We're still dealing with COVID-19. Small gatherings. And the social media protest and angst against our governor right now is unbelievable. Whether you agree or disagree, you have to look at the facts and the numbers. States that have opened way too quickly are closing back down. So they're in reverse. It's hard for me to put a mask on. I mean, I'm already wearing my Halloween outfit. But it's hard for me to put a mask on at school. Okay? I can't imagine what it's going to be like if we're back in the fall and every kid has to have a mask on. It's like, okay, how do you identify the kid that did that? They were wearing a mask. Might be a great time for us to all get together and have the same mask on, go in and rob a bank. How are they going to figure it out if everybody's got the same mask on? But the mask serves a purpose, whether you agree with it or whether you disagree, as to its effectiveness. You don't have to have a mask that's going to suffocate you. You don't have to go get cellophane or something like that, or tinfoil that you probably aren't going to be very comfortable with. But in general, to help protect others, parents, grandparents, even. But again, there's the protest, the disagreements. We have to come together. We have to do what's best for each other. So as we go about our lives this week, whether it be a simple or complex task, Let's welcome, receive, and share with others the ministry of Jesus Christ through the church, and allow everybody a place in the choir. Amen.